the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless, and those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, sparked by replacing the spark in the hope the swamps of the approximate are not quite, the not yet, the not at all. The world you desired can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It's yours.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I'm really excited to have Sam here from Token AI. Token AI is building on-demand crypto market analysis and I believe trading tools utilizing AI. So thanks so much for being here, Sam. And if you could briefly give us a little bit of an introduction to Token AI, that would be great.
Oh, thank you for having me. So Token AI is basically the place where anyone who wants to get started with crypto investing needs to go. The reason we started Token AI is anytime we talked to someone and they heard that we're involved in crypto, the first question they asked was, what do I buy?
Yeah,
and I'm sure you know. Basically, is like, I don't even know how many coins these days. Probably around 2,000 and several thousand exchanges. It's just very confusing and very overwhelming. And I remember when I started doing crypto about maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Even back then, there were maybe 100 coins or something. It was still very intimidating to just like get started because you really don't know what to do. So. That's the reason we started Token AI. Now, we don't claim to be experts in crypto. I don't think anyone is an expert in crypto right now because it's still such a new thing. So we decided to put artificial intelligence behind our decision making and use real actual data from the last few years of trading from multiple exchanges and use big data analysis and machine learning to develop strategies for people who just want to know what to buy. Now, the other thing that we did is that we took these strategies and we packaged them in a very easy to use user interface and easy to use platform. So if you're someone who wants to get started with crypto, all you have to do is visit our platform, generate a portfolio, we tell you what to buy, how much, at what price, and then all you have to do is execute the trade. We are registered internet advisors with the SEC, so we're allowed to give financial advice. And we are planning to launch our platform in, I don't want to give an exact date, but very, very soon.
Okay, well, that's exciting. And so, I mean, for people who, I came from the Forex days. I was playing with Forex bots back in the day. And, you know, this is sort of been an evolving idea throughout the years, but no one's really gotten it right. You know, no one's made it one very user accessible because most of the people using them are having to either code pieces themselves or integrate it with exchanges. So how are you making it accessible to people in ways that other similar services may not have been in the past?
Right. So I've been doing a lot of trading in the past as well. And I came from the options world. And like you said, it's very, very complicated to use automated trading. You either have to know how to do coding and whatever coding language the bot uses, or you have to be able to read very sophisticated signals and stuff like that. What we did is we basically took all the signal information that we're getting right now and we package it into one decision. So basically it's either you buy or you don't buy, or you buy but it might be risky, or this is really a strong buy and you should actually like get it. What our goal is to create a system where the user actually doesn't have to do anything. The user just gives us some money and we go and run our AI for them, and they just watch the portfolio get rebalanced every so often when the need arises. The technology for that actually exists. We already have that tech. But there are all sorts of regulatory issues that we need to implement, or regulatory, not issues, but licenses, I guess, that we need to implement in order to get that available for the public. So that'll be a little bit further down the road. Our AI, we call her Juliet, so she stands in line with Siri and Cortana and Alexa and all the other big AIs, big famous AIs. And she actually really is very kind of gentle and caring and takes you through the process of getting started with crypto very, very easily. So one of the things we have is just for like really pure beginners who've like maybe bought Bitcoin on Coinbase and that's pretty much it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet can basically just generate a portfolio for them. They tell her how much they want to invest, what their risk tolerance is, or their trading preferences actually, and just like a drop down, and how many coins they want in their portfolio. And Juliet goes out, looks at all the 2,000 coins or whatever, and puts together the recommended portfolio for them, finds only liquid coins, only coins that are easy to purchase, tells them where to get it in their favorite exchange, or if they don't know, Juliet will tell them where to go get them, these coins, what price to buy them at, and how much of each coin to get. So your portfolio is not only like an index, which is evenly or equally balanced or weighted based on market cap or something like that. It's actually weighted based on predicted performance for what you're going to predict.
Yeah, so like an AI financial advisor, essentially. So instead of, you know, my mom goes to BNY Mellon, has her financial advisor creating these baskets and they're, you know, sort of consistently managing it, taking, you know, massive fee to do so, and they're going down the street to my uncle's company buying the software to create those baskets, and then I guess almost their form of AI is the people actively managing what the software is telling them to manage. But I guess you're trying to package that all up into one piece of software to eliminate that entirely. Is that sort of right?
That's exactly the case. We want people to be able to, really the mission here is to enable people to do what they want, to be creative, to have freedom from any financial or emotional mm-hmm. or institutional stress or limitation, so they can actually go and live their lives and achieve their full potentials as human beings. We're doing that in a way that allows people to not have to think about investments, not have to think about, because crypto is like I think it's a great investment, maybe not in the last few months, but I think long term it's a great investment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm involved in it, I'm invested in it, and I think that a lot of people will benefit from the freedom that crypto can give them, because a lot of the cryptocurrencies are decentralized. They're traded 24/7. There's no broker that they need to talk to. The exchange fees are fairly low mm-hmm. compared to like regular trading. And all they need is someone to help guide them and tell them what to do.
Yeah. So
Juliet can be that financial advisor to them and basically give them the access that they need to get started with this market.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, sort of twofold, because, you know, on one hand, you have most of the new people to the market who really have the most to gain from learning about it and having a positive experience with it. Those people typically don't have a positive experience because, you know, they're having a lot of misinformation thrown at them. They're making
exactly.
bad decisions, and there are a lot of scammers just trying to take their money, essentially. But, you know, second fold, all those people who get scared off, you know, that's a big problem in of itself, because they're not exposing themselves to capital markets. And you have people in China where you've seen massive economic growth, but you've also seen a massive move out of extreme poverty. Something like since 1980, it's gone from over 90% extreme poverty down to like 2%. And a lot of that mm-hmm. is fueled by people getting access to capital markets. Everyone's trading there all the time. Most people are invested in some way or another. But a lot of people in the US don't seem to ever get the financial literacy to take that step and sort of move from paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly. And I know people that investing has changed their lives, basically turned them from people, like you said, living from paycheck to paycheck, to people who are financially solid enough to go and be creative and do whatever they want. I know people who've done that with crypto investing as well. So, like you said, people need a way to bypass all these kind of like false information sources. Some guy on Twitter said something about a coin and you're like, I don't know. Like, it sounds cool. I don't know. Should I get this or not? So we actually have a function for that too. So you could actually like get information on specific coins that you've heard about or whatever, and get.
So you will you have like sort Juliet's. Of crowdsourced information, or where would a lot of that come from?
So right now we're focused on just pure data. So we look at past performance, traded. I'm going to say 80 exchanges, but our AI guy is not going to be happy about it because it's probably much more than that by now.
So we
look at the data. We're also building out something called social sentiment. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That's sort of investor psychology. Is that the idea?
Exactly. So it's investor psychology plus public sources of information. So for example, looking at social media to see what people are saying about a certain coin, and putting together a score around it, and then using that score to provide advice. We also have some really cool features coming up probably within a few weeks again. So we call it the Go Feed the Ducks feature, or something to that sort. We haven't like decided on the final name for it yet, but it's basically, it looks at the volatility and price change patterns, and it kind of tries to identify if there is something funky going on with that coin. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're interested in buying a certain coin, then you run that that analysis, and then it tells you like, well, today is probably a day you should go feed the ducks and not do any trading. because something weird is going on in the market. It's not normal behavior. And that basically can really help people avoid like pump and dump scams, or someone on Twitter, which will remain nameless, decides to take someone's money and like, I'm going to pump this coin out and get my million followers.
We almost had a few of those guys on, actually. We were scheduled to have some of them on the week before that scandal broke.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's basically, you find out 3 months later, they were taking like enormous amounts of money to just,
I mean, they had some really, really incredible strategies they had worked out. I mean, they had pages and pages of, you know, analysis and research, and they had planned everything out months in advance. I was surprised how sophisticated these networks have become.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people put a lot of thought into this. This is a very, very new market with the potential for a lot of profit. So some people get unhinged by that and go down to the dark side and see how they can just take as much of themselves. We're trying to create tools to detect that and avoid that, and our volatility tool, the Go Feed the Ducks tool, is just the start here. I mean, we're looking at ways to maybe identify insider trading. We're looking at ways to look at suspicious transactions in big wallets. Mm-hmm. I mean, the beauty of crypto is that, I don't know if most, but a lot of the information is on public blockchains. It's all available to the public.
Yeah, and a lot of people are making, you know, open source tools to look at this stuff. And
exactly, exactly. Yeah. So we can actually like see, okay, some wallet transferred to another wallet 100,000 Bitcoin, and then the price of Bitcoin dropped 4 days later. Is that related somehow?
Yeah. And even, I mean, a lot of people, I think, don't think about the fact that there's so many even out of circulation. You might be able to tell how many are just sort of in dead wallets that might be in some dump somewhere, you know. Exactly. No one's really figured out total supply and all these things that have a massive effect on things like price. And so that being said, you know, how does the AI, I guess, what are your sort of target metrics for the AI to be hitting? Are you trying to hit target returns, target, you know, I guess, target safety levels, or target target volatility? How do you set it up for people?
So right now it's very basic. It's looks at the how would I define it? The trading preference in terms of holding term. So are you looking at long term, short term, or medium term? So it's kind of like day trading or weekly trading or holding for a few months. And then based on that, it produces a portfolio that has past indications of performing the best based on different parameters of the of the coin, like price change, volume, liquidity, stuff like that. We're also building out a lot of different, I guess, I don't know if we can call them like separate AIs or different levers for this one specific
programs,
AI.
I guess, yeah.
Exactly. Or I guess strategies that we could plug into your account, and you could basically choose, okay, I want my portfolio to be risk weighted, or I want my portfolio to be based on volatility, or I want my portfolio to be based on trading volume, or depending on what you want as a user. Or you could just say, I don't really know what I want, give me some sort of aggregate signal or aggregate decision based on a bunch of different signals, and we're going to look at those different signals, weigh them for you, and put them into one decision.
So when a lot of people are talking about programs or AIs that they're building for trading, they talk about backtesting. Is backtesting an accurate way to, I guess, to figure out future returns, or is there going to be some differential in what it thinks it can do based on previous results and what it can do going forward?
So I don't think there's, I mean, backtesting is great, and we do backtesting, of course. In crypto, it's a little bit difficult because the market, I mean, we started backtesting in 2015, I think, if I remember the year correctly. So 2015, there are probably like maybe a couple of dozen coins. I'm just trying to bring these numbers up from memory. I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe like 5 to 10, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe something like that. And as we moved forward in time, I think about a year and a half ago, we were at 500 coins.
Yeah, it got, and it blew up around,
and it just
I'd
blew
say,
up. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Like June of last year. So.
Yeah, so maybe the markets are not stable enough for backtesting, because
yeah, they're
you're
not
testing
very mature.
2,000 coins today, but a year and a half ago we were at 500 coins, and 3 years ago we were at 10 coins or 5 coins or 2 coins or whatever the number was. So what exactly are you backtesting? We can backtest Bitcoin, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because there
that's
I guess what I'm thinking is there's another company called Gimmer I talked to. And they're doing a bot. I guess their bot is not so much based on AI. It's more just user input. And they have a big emphasis on backtesting. So they'll say you'll beat the market by, you know, 250% backtesting our algorithm right now. So I was just wondering, you know,
yeah, I mean,
if someone was to look at that.
I've done backtesting and set up the algorithm. I was the number? Like 10,000 something percent.
Yeah,
which is it's of course it's you can get that with like data, but until you don't actually like live trade with that with that algorithm, you don't really know what will happen, because you don't know how many
exactly
how the orders will fill. You don't know. I mean, one of the coins I had in that 10,000 thing was I don't remember what the name of the ticker was. It was a coin that has like zero liquidity, and one day it went up by 2,000%, and that's it.
Forever. Yeah, I mean, one thing people don't realize is just having, you know, open market orders, you can set them, you know, 20-30% over
exactly
whatever the market price is, and a lot of people don't even understand how market orders work, and they'll end up paying, you know, 1,000% over market price.
Exactly. I mean, if you know, like you said, you've done trading in the past, you know how it works.
Yeah.
There's some sophistication that you need to be a sophisticated trader, and if you do want to go on that route, there's years, decades of education that you can get, and it's really mostly about psychology to me. I mean, you need to like realize that you're not smarter than the market. You need to stick to your strategies, slowly improve, and all that stuff. I mean, and crypto is just like a regular market, but on steroids, with like a ton of other manipulations going on. And I personally really benefited from having an AI make the decisions for me, so I don't have to like freak out every time something happens.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lower stress way to do it, and a lot of times consistency is key because, I mean, you can make 3% a day pretty consistently, and when you do the compound interest calculation on that, you're gonna get something pretty big, but people typically just aren't that consistent or consistent enough to make that work.
Yeah, I mean, people like have emotions. That's the problem, right? It's
Yeah.
your fear, greed, jealousy, all that stuff. I mean, I remember Julia did a buy for me for, I think it was like G-Byte, and she put like a big chunk of my portfolio into that. So I was like, okay, let's see what's going on. And I was watching it, and suddenly started to drop. I was like, oh my God, it's dropping. Oh my God, it's dropping. And then probably 6 hours later of me freaking out, started to go up again, and then it went up like 20%. It's like, oh my God, I'm up 20%, hooray, I'm excited.
There you go.
And then like it started to drop again, and like I was like on that roller coaster. And in the end, the long-term decision was correct because I came out very profitable with that trade. But sitting and watching it, and I'll go back to my older trading days, the options.
Oh,
Th
yeah.
there was a day that I was like sitting and watching the tick index in the market. The one that shows like market trends going up and down in stock market. It's basically I was sitting and watching it like by the minute, like, oh no, the market's up. Oh no, the market's down.
Oh
And I was
yeah.
just like getting all stressed out about it. And at that point, it's like, okay, this is not how you do trading.
Yeah, when I was trading Forex, I mean, those are 20, 24 hours a day, 23 hours, I guess.
Exactly.
And,
Exactly.
if you have an open trade, you're not sleeping that night because that could be
Exactly.
five, $10,000. Then that's one of the reasons I moved towards bots because I realized, it's just a much lower stress, more consistent me way of doing it. But I guess so one of the questions I have is you said, it's going to be pretty similar to traditional markets. Do you think we're going to see like flash crashes and some of these sort of weird quant days that they always talk about where essentially the algos make a wrong call and they all bid each other up or down and things get a little wacky? Do you think that'll start happening in crypto markets or it's already happening?
I mean, I mean, if you remember, I don't remember when it was. Maybe last year there was like that Ethereum flash crash. So that was kind of, I think, the first indicator that that's possible. Right now, the market, in my opinion, is not big enough market cap wise to support like major algo trading yet. Once
Not
institutional money
enough
starts coming
liquidity.
in. Not enough liquidity, and a lot of it is held, like you said, in semi-dormant wallets, and a lot of it is weighted towards like the top maybe two or three Bitcoins. So I'm not expecting to see much of that in the near future. But once big money, institutional money starts getting in, and that's going to happen when regulation gets figured out and custody situation gets figured out.
Yeah,
Once
do you
that
think
happens,
you guys
yeah.
will ever move more towards high frequency, or will you stay more with like day, month, and so on?
So right now we're actually at a 10-minute frequency. It's not relevant for the crypto markets right now because not much happens in a 10-minute gap in today's markets. I could see that changing as more bigger institutional money comes in, and then we're ready to be at a higher frequency trading position.
Yeah, that would make sense. So, what do you think are the major barriers to getting people to start playing around with some of this software? Because, I mean, I know how hard it is just to get them into crypto, and you throw another buzzword like AI on top of it, and all of a sudden people are just running for the hills. So, what has been your strategy for that?
So we've taken all the sophisticated, complicated financial information, and the even the term signals. We don't even use the term signal. We basically simplify things to a point where, with one click and maybe a couple of other clicks on an exchange, you're able to start buying crypto. We're taking this from an education perspective and also from a simplification perspective. We have on our team some UI experts that know how to build very simple and easy to use UIs. We've taken an enormous amount of data and compressed it into like one button, basically, buy or don't buy.
Yeah, I love how simple everything you have is. I mean, UI really is the biggest problem with crypto right now, I think.
Exactly, and crypto is designed by techies and by engineers and stuff like that. So we don't think about like what grandma's going to use, right? We think about, we need a solution to get this problem solved, so we build a solution that gets this problem solved. And those products are probably work better, but if you look like Apple versus Microsoft or stuff like that in the early days, Apple basically said, you know what, you don't need to know everything or do everything. We'll take care of it for you, and maybe our product's not going to be as big and fast as robust as Microsoft's, but it's still pretty cool. Does what you need to do.
Go ahead.
Sure, and I'm saying, like, if you look at what the majority of the market wants, majority of the market is as in like consumer market, they really don't need the bells and whistles and fancy stuff and all sorts of the under the hood things. That actually appeals to a very small percentage of the market. Most consumers just want to get their task done in a very easy, simple way because they have other things to do in their life. Mm-hmm. And I used to work for HP, and I worked in the consumer notebooks department, in the consumer laptop department. And I would bring all sorts of like new cool things that we're building over to show my wife. And she was like, listen, this doesn't work for me. It's too complicated. I just want to X. I just want to like write a document. I just want to do a PowerPoint. I don't need all these like buttons. I don't know what they
all
do.
All the clutter.
I don't know what they do. I don't care what they do.
I just needed
to get this thing done. So that's our perspective.
When we're designing stuff, you know, it's the same case. I asked my mom and I asked my girlfriend, and you know, 90% of this stuff. One thing we've been focusing on is mining. So mining is really not intuitive for consumers at all. You know, all the different pieces that come together. Everyone's setting it up. You know, they've built every gaming computer they've had since they were 10. But it's just interesting to see how none of the tools are built at all for anyone who doesn't have a long history of this stuff. And lowering that barrier to entry seems to be what's really important, but what not a lot of people seem to be focusing on. And even today, you know, exchanges aren't very intuitive. You look at Binance, mm-hmm. and Binance is a mess. There's just numbers everywhere, and there's too much information out. You know, it's like, you don't even need that much, and it's scary to people.
That's exactly the feeling we're trying to solve here. I mean, I remember the first time I looked at Poloniex, and there was like a bunch of numbers flashing on the right and a bunch of numbers flashing on the left and charts and graphs and all this stuff. I was like, I just want to buy some crypto. I think my friend told me about some coins. Like, oh, that's interesting. I want to get in on that. I was like, what's trading pairs? I don't know. How do I, like, I just want to buy this coin. So I'm like, buy some and keep it somewhere. Where do I keep it? Like all these like little questions that people have.
Yeah. And if you want a certain coin, you got to go to a new exchange. And if you want to keep it off grid. Yeah, exactly. There's so many little things.
Like withdraw it from your wallet, then you have to set up the API, and then you have to set up the whitelisting. Oh, it's a product that works really great for people who have the patience and time to dedicate to learning it. But most people have other shit to do. So they're not going to sit down and like go and do this stuff.
So say I was, you know, like my mother or my girlfriend, if I was going to set up an account with Token AI, you know, what would I expect, and how easy would it be for me to do?
So again, the account is basically like setting up like an email account or something similar like that. All you have to do is put in your personal information and get started. You have an account. If you want to actually use the system, you need to go through a KYC process. Mm-hmm. Know your customer. Since we're registered, we need to make sure we're not like money laundering or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course.
Which is always actually not
so
even
so. You need
not
an exchange account
policy.
As well, I guess, would be the you need
exactly.
That would be so the other piece that you would need for sure.
So you need an exchange account, and you would need some Bitcoin in that account or Ethereum to buy the coins. We're actually going to teach you how to do that in a very simple and easy way, as simple as possible with. Considering that exchanges don't make it easy for you,
yeah,
but that's kind of a hurdle we have to go through right now. And then all you have to do is you have to buy some tokens from us, TIE tokens, use them on our system, because TIE is the method of payment for our advice platform. And then basically generate a portfolio or get information on the coin, or if you already have a portfolio, you can also rebalance it based on what the AI is saying.
And so what's the pricing structure you guys are expecting to roll out? Is it going to be a flat monthly type fee? Is it going to be based on returns? You know, how do you set that up?
So we have two pricing models. One is transactional. So every time you get advice, you're going to pay a certain amount of tokens. It's super cheap. It's like probably less than a dollar for every time you get advice. So it's very affordable. Or you could set up a monthly subscription for unlimited use. Depending on what you're trying to do. If you just want to like dip your toe in the water and get an idea of what crypto trading is like, probably just buy a few tokens and generate a few portfolios and see what happens. Or if you're more advanced and you want to get more information, you should probably do the monthly. I can tell you that our individual token analysis tool is quite addicting. I mean, I've spent like a lot of time just playing with token symbols, entering them and seeing what comes up, what the AI thinks about them. Just for my own personal use.
So what kind of insights would you get by doing that?
So right now it's basically the signal, so buy, sell, or strong buy or risky buy, or the go feed the ducks.
Okay. So as it's set up almost like Zax, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And then as time goes by and we have more power built into our AI, you're gonna probably get more. We also have an educational component that will tell you a little bit more about this token, what it's for, what it does. So it's not just buying like a three-letter symbol. You actually know a little bit more about what you're buying. That actually also came from a piece of advice that Juliet gave us once. She identified a token named Rupee, R-U-P. And it would have never been on anyone's radar before that, just because, like, what is R-U-P? I've never heard of it. But she identified that token, and it actually performed very well financially, so we looked into what the actual company is, and it was pretty interesting. It was kind of like the cryptocurrency of India.
Okay.
So like, okay, this is interesting. Let's get in deeper and see what happens. So we actually developed a relationship with them, and we had some conversations, and honestly, I don't know what they're up to these days, but at the time, they were doing pretty well. So there's also the education component, where you're not just like BTC, ETH, BTC, ETH, XRP.
Yeah.
You kind of like, you get us to be exposed to different coins, different products. And maybe if you like those projects, you can get more involved in them as a user or as a contributor, or just learn something new and cool that you didn't know before.
Yeah, to us, that's been the most important thing with just having companies on the podcast, is you pretty quickly get a feel for how much of an understanding someone has for their own industry, and you know, how reasonable their plans sound, if they seem reliable or trustworthy. And you can, by having a conversation with someone for half an hour or an hour, a lot of times you can get a pretty decent feel for that. And I've been able to get a feel for a lot of companies that way, and most of the ones you can kind of tell where they're gonna end up just by knowing things like the team. And I think it's pretty funny that a lot of people aren't even looking at the teams of these companies, or you know, some other factors that probably have a much bigger effect on their success than just the idea phase, which a lot of people have sort of an obsession with. So I was gonna ask, would you say there are any plans? So there have been some people who have done some research and found like the most profitable times to buy coins are right before, you know, they hit big exchanges, or if you're mining, you want to mine them before they hit exchanges. So how would you factor some of the news that seems to be really important into, as far as the price goes with the AI, I know you talked about keeping track of social signals. So is that, does that take into account news and all of these other things? How do you aggregate all that into something?
Right, so that again, it's part of the sentiment model that we're building. It's in very early stages right now, but basically, you could look at key blogs, key news sites, and stuff like that, and get a lot of information from there if you look at kind of like the data hidden between the lines. That's something that we're working on. It's kind of like a whole project in itself, honestly.
Yeah, I'm
But
sure.
there are a lot of factors there that we are trying to incorporate in our sentiment model. Basically, what is being said about this coin that people may not notice, that may be kind of like a hidden message, if you will, in the press or in the media, or like the what happened with Bitcoin Cash on Coinbase, if you remember when
Yeah.
it launched. There were signs of that out there somewhere. Intuitively, we kind of know that. With hindsight, obviously, we didn't know it at the time. So that's.
I definitely knew that was a pump and dump at the
I'm not gonna make any claims of who insider traded
Oh,
what.
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's allegedly, right? But
Yeah.
there were if you look back, there were kind of like hidden signs that if you would have known to
Some
identify
red
them
flags,
at the
yeah.
times, at the time you would have known this is going to happen. So that's also something we're working on right now, to build into our platform. So you would know either to avoid or to take advantage of, if it's done in a legal way. We're not going to try to like get you involved in pump and dump
Yeah,
schemes.
when all the mainstream news outlets start talking about what a great investment it is, maybe turn the other
That's the time to leave. Yeah,
way.
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Exactly.
too late.
Yeah, that's a module that I'm thinking of building. It's kind of like the opposite George module. So
Yeah.
basically, when everybody is saying it's good, sell. When everyone's saying it's bad, buy.
Yeah, we built a blockchain that's just going through different news articles and it's keeping track of retractions and edits to the article, and like it'll notify you if after you've read an article they changed it, you know? And I think that's,
That's actually a very nice idea. I like that.
yeah, we're just playing around with stuff like that. But you know, it's interesting because I think there are a lot of applications and there are a lot of problems that I think this stuff can fix, and I'm hoping that eventually people are put into a spot where they actually have the opportunity to get into investing and have a fair shot at making some money and not getting essentially lured down into all of these traps and schemes. And you know, I can't tell you how much crypto I've lost just,
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
playing around with little new companies that seem exciting and then disappear in, you know, 3 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've done ICO investing in the past year, and honestly, a lot of it was basically learning capital. I just like spend money to learn what not to do.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, you look at the team, and at this point, you can probably tell like this might work, but it's too risky for me. Or like, wow, these guys are really, really doing something right.
Yeah, and also just if the tokens will ever really have value, because a lot of these tokens, they just print them for no reason, and then unless the ecosystem, you know, is fully successful, the token will never have value, which people don't seem to understand. So it needs to be smartly integrated into the product. And I think sort of the model you guys have makes a lot of sense. So when you guys were fundraising, I mean, I don't really know anything about how you guys are fundraising, or did you guys do an ICO, or how did you sort of go about that part of it?
So no, we didn't do an ICO. We raised the private capital
Okay.
through a SAFT. And what we're really doing is we're kind of like doing the, I've read the term somewhere like maybe a reverse ICO or something like that. Well, it's not even an ICO, honestly. But basically, we're going to be launching the product before we do a token sale or sell tokens to the public.
Yeah, that's smart. Do it
So.
like an IPO, not a Kickstarter.
No, it's not even IPO. It's basically like just like a sale, right? It's like a
Okay.
like a holiday sale or grand opening sale or whatever. That's how we're going to start, because I personally, like I told you, I got burnt by a lot of these ICOs that made big promises and then just kind of like fizzled away.
Yeah, the bigger the marketing budget, usually the worse they are.
Exactly. Like I've the PR is amazing. Like, oh my God, these guys are like going to rule the world, and then they raise $100 million and yeah, we're going to take a little break now, and actually the tech we were talking about doesn't really exist or is possible at all, so we're going to figure it out.
We're going to vacation. We'll get back to
you. Yeah, exactly. So we want to do it the other way. We want to have an actual product that you can use day one using our tokens. A well-built, well-thought-out. I don't know if you've had a chance to see our user interface or play with our product.
Yeah, I've been trying to play around with it. I don't know if... Did you guys have a demo on the website?
Yeah, we have a beta. I could probably set you up with a beta if you want. Although it's probably just wait a couple of weeks and you can use the live product.
Okay, I'll definitely take a look at it. I was trying to find...
But yeah, it's like a product that actually works. I mean, the tech is ready to go. We're just waiting for a bunch of like tiny little legal documents we need to have in place, get our terms and conditions all right and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
because we're like dealing with financial products and all that, get all the registrations we need to register with, and then we're going to be ready to go. So we're kind of like doing it backwards. Then there'll be like a discounted sale at the beginning, so whoever wants to get their hands on a bunch of tokens early can do it, and then it's just a regular business, just selling tokens. Yeah.
Well,
instead of gift cards or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to try it out and play along, play around with it. Was there any... All right. Well, with that, is there anything else you wanted to wrap things up with?
Sure. I just wanted to mention that our mission is really to empower people and give them freedom from any financial or investment type stress. Our AI, Juliet, can take them by the hand and guide them through investing in a very easy and simple way that makes investing in crypto fun instead of scary. And I encourage you and your listeners to come check us out at www.tokenai.io and check us out. And if you get there before we launch, just put your name and email in the little email box, and we'll let you know when we go live, which should be very soon.
All right, and we'll have all those links in the description for you guys. Thanks so much for coming by, Sam, and we'll keep a close eye on Token AI, and we're excited to see where things go.
Thank you very much.
All right, and thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you soon.